to be here. If we could just bow our heads and go before the Lord in prayer. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. Your messages have been coming across this pulpit hot, Lord. You've given us so much, Lord, and I just want us to look at that, Lord, this morning. Look at your word, Lord. Look at what you've done. Just take a second, Lord, to just thank you and just ask you to just have your way. Continue to just get us out of the way, Lord. Brother Branham said, I must decrease so he can increase. Lord, we need that final increase so we can take another step, Lord. We heard it a couple services back, Lord. I don't know how far back, but that message where Brother Moore preached, this is the final move of the bride, Lord. Every single step is a final move because this service could be our last service, Lord. We're right there on the precipice of getting a body change, Lord. But with all these things going on all around us, how your word's coming across this pulpit, Lord, we just want to take a second and say thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us this body, Lord. Thank you for each other, Lord. Just touch, Lord, every person in this place under the sound of your voice, Lord. It's the mouth of God speaking the word of God, Lord. We are truly the final voice to the final age, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord. Keep our pastor, Lord, as he's out on his travels. Thank you for bringing back brothers and sisters that were out, Lord. We just love you, Lord. And we give you all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead, Brother Ted.
First of all, I want to say I'm glad to be here. Amen. And it's a privilege to be here.
Amen. You may be seated.
It really is a privilege. And we really need to take this more seriously. I'm serious. We've got a lot on our plate to do, and it takes every one of us to do it. Exactly. No one is an island. Everybody needs to do something here.
Amen.
And you know, we have a need in this body. That we've got a lot of things going on. We need help. Amen. So if you're not paying your tithes, you're not believing.
Amen.
Because belief is the action of what you do. Yeah. It's not just, oh, I believe. That's nothing.
Yeah.
The devil believes and he trembles. But Amen. If you're really a believer,
come on,
you'll do what you say.
Yeah.
It's the way it is.
Amen.
And if you don't back the church, then you're not part of a believer. Amen. That's the honest truth. You can say it all you want to, but if you don't pay tithes, you're not a believer.
Amen.
And I'm just, because we need things in this church Amen. To make this thing run. And That's if right. we don't pay our tithes, we don't run.
Amen.
I'm just, Amen. Chips fall where they are.
Amen.
I was told to do this, and so I'm doing it.
Amen.
And God told me to do it, so I'm saying it's that important.
Amen.
We've got things in the back there we need to get. We need to get a server. We need money for it. Can't get it if we don't have money.
That's right.
And if you don't pay your tithes, don't expect the lights to be on.
Amen.
Everything revolves around us.
Amen.
We have to pay our dues. Body. We have to put forth.
It's a body.
It's a body ministry. That's one ministry that everybody in this whole church can do. So if you're not paying your tithes, you better do it now. Because whatever you think, if you believe God's in flesh, if God's speaking to you now, then you do that what God says. If you don't, then you're not believing God. This was put on me, and I was nervous, and I'm nervous as a, I'm shaking. But that's how much that I believe I'm following God. Because
Amen.
When God tells you to do something,
yes.
it don't matter what your flesh says. Just do it.
Amen.
So I still am thankful to be here.
Yes.
Amen. More than you have any idea.
It's still the word. It's still
and
the word.
Just take heed.
Amen. Amen.
Chips fall where they are.
And that's an elder, you know, where you spend your time and your money, that's where your heart is. This is where my heart is. This place couldn't ask enough of me. Go ahead, brother.
I was just thinking about the pastor when he talked about the God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. If you ever want to understand anything about God and what he meant when he said something, just look at the brother and sister right beside you.
Amen.
You are the very manifestation of the heart and desire of God. What he wanted before the foundation of the world, you are the manifestation of that. Everything God wanted. How did God know that Adam wanted a wife? He did.
That's right.
He knew, and Adam was created in the very image of God, so he knew full well that God wanted someone like himself because Adam was going to want that too. Yeah. Everything God desires, you are the manifestation of.
Yes.
And how much to rejoice in that? God had all the angels in the heavens. It's like, nope, there's no one like me.
Right.
Created man in his image. Amen. Adam was standing there. All the animals came forth that he named, just like God did all the angels. Nope, no one like himself. He created Eve out of him, out of Adam. God created us out of him, his very thoughts.
That's right.
We are the manifestation of every desire God ever had and wanted. So if you ever want to understand God, just look at your brother and sister beside you. And of all ages, that's the manifestation of everything God's ever wanted. All the way back through Paul and everything.
Amen.
We are the manifestation of the very desires of God.
Amen. Brother Seth, go ahead.
Amen. It's so good to be here. So good to be here and be counted as one of them. Oh, Lord, I was turned on Wednesday. I was so turned on. But I tell you what, I am so excited when you see what you see. You know, talking about the, first of all, we talk about the voice of the bride.
Yes.
And the fact that there can't be two different voices. It can't be the ones that are alive and remaining and the ones that are, are have passed. There's to be one bride.
One.
He's not an adulterous God. Okay, then you start talking about all that John saw.
Oh, my goodness.
And you start putting yourself. You start having that decoder ring. You can say that all that I see.
Yes.
You know, that all that I understand.
Yes.
You know, I was thinking about, you know, John was on the Isle of Patmos.
Yeah.
Lots of circumstances.
Oh, yeah.
It was rough. Poisonous snakes, spiders, everything's trying to kill you. Just like this world. Yeah. Everything's trying to kill you.
Right.
But there's one difference is he stepped out of time.
Yeah.
And stepped out into eternity.
That's right.
And only when he stepped out into eternity was he able to see the full story.
That's right. And the Lord
said. Full story. He saw what was, what is, and what's to come.
Amen.
I love the fact that he even said, you got to seal these things up. Don't tell my secrets. My trade secrets.
Yeah.
But there had to be a time. Perfect time.
Yes.
It wasn't until the end. It wasn't even until the end. I love that what we've been preaching because it wasn't even until 63 that the body realized it was a body.
Yeah.
You know, in just a personal revelation, sitting here, I was like, I knew that the dead had come, but I didn't know all the dead. So I'm sitting here like, okay, all right. So I'm not just sitting here where I can talk lip to ear with Brother Childers,
amen,
with Sister Sandy, with Brother Neil, with Brother Bob, with Sister, I can talk to, hey, Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Luther, Wesley. I can talk to the whole body.
Yeah.
So when I'm sitting here, I'm stepping out into eternity.
Amen.
I come in here. That's why it's so important to get to the house of God, because this is the one time. He says when you see and understand, you'll see things a little bit differently. You'll move a little bit with more urgency.
Yes.
And then you realize your plate truly is empty, because all I'm here, my bride's already here. I'm over here. I can sit just as real as I can talk to you. It's how much faith and revelation I should be able to talk to my loved ones.
That's right.
It's no different.
No different.
If I say, Brother Don, it's good to see you.
Yes.
Brother Childers, it's good to see you.
Yes.
It's the same kind of revelation. Eventually, there has to come a manifestation.
Yes.
I didn't see you until you walked in this morning.
Yeah.
But eventually, there's going to be a time where they put on this earth.
Yeah.
And they come and say, come on, Seth, it's time to go.
Yeah.
And they'll call me by my name.
Yes.
Because I know where my name's at.
Amen.
I'm not sitting there where like, well, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm over here confused just like the world. No.
Right.
No, God's word will not go without void.
Amen.
If he says something, it comes to pass.
That's exactly right.
It always comes to pass.
Yes.
If he says that those are alive and remain, the dead will come and will be joined together.
Yes.
That's not
in a moment.
That's not going to be something that's going to be, well, I guess it will happen or something.
No.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
The dead's already here. We're literally in church with a bride body. So when you see that, you start looking a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And you come in here, you come in with a wanting heart, an open mind. I have something to edify the body with.
Yes.
You know, eventually they're going to be like, you know what? It's time for me. It's time. They're going to put some earth on, and we're going to see our loved ones. But until those scales are removed from my eyes, I'm going to talk to them just like they're there. That faith.
Yes.
Because you walk by, because you can't see it. You can't see, but you know they're here. You know they're here, because you know why? The Word said they are.
Yeah.
And the Word says it, then it is.
Then it is.
So I come in here, I'm stepping out into eternity. I've moved out of time.
Yeah.
I've moved out of circumstance. I've moved out of where things look rough. If it doesn't get changed on this side, amen. You know what? What Brother Ted said, it's nothing but the truth. Yeah. That's what the bride does. The bride turns quickly.
Spoken word.
It's not heard about it. That's nothing but the truth. We hear God talk.
Yes.
So if God says do it, then you do it.
Amen.
You do the best you can.
Yes.
And you know what? You pray for the rest.
Yep.
But I love this revelation because you know what? When I come in here, I don't see the flesh.
Amen.
I don't see the badger skin anymore. I'm over here. I almost forget you guys' names. You're getting, such an atmosphere. You're like, we're nothing. We're brothers and sisters in
Christ.
That's it. We are one and the same.
One and the same.
We're cut from the same cloth.
Yes.
We're going to the same place.
Amen.
So it doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You could be on the Isle of Patmos for all you know.
Yeah.
But you have an option that you can step out of time.
Yeah.
That you can step in eternity. You can see the full redemption story. You can see what was done. You know the names.
Yeah.
You read Revelations. You talk about the seven candlesticks and the seven angels and the seven trumpets. Those are a mystery.
Yeah.
So those are still thunder. But to us, it's a voice.
Yeah.
We know who it is. We know the order of the rapture.
Yes.
We know what has. We can't even go on further until that rapture.
Right.
Such a revelation.
Amen.
Such an hour. And to sit here, I was like, if nobody else says anything, I'll say something. If nobody else, because I want to get going.
That's right.
I want to come loaded. God's been too good to me.
Amen.
I woke up and he gave me the ability to talk. So I'm going to talk while I can.
Yeah.
I'll testify like Sister Teresa. I believe I'll testify.
Oh, yeah.
Why have a chance?
Oh, yes.
That's still the truth. It's still the truth.
Amen.
I believe I'll clap my hands while I can. I believe I'll raise my hands while I can. Because you know what?
Amen.
This body fails. This flesh fails.
Yeah.
But something within me.
Something within me.
Never fails. He gave you something that will never fail.
Amen.
He gives you something that when you think, it's just that. I love that ram in the bush. You didn't think you needed a ram in the bush.
Yeah.
You didn't think you needed something raised for you.
Come on.
Until you know what? It was raised. And you start looking for it.
Yes.
Once you see it, you see it. Like Brother Jesse say on Wednesday, he says, you try to talk me out of it, you can't talk me out of it. I've come too far. I've seen too much.
I crave it.
I've seen natural miracles.
Amen.
I've seen my mother heal. I've seen babies born. Yes. But you know what? I have an understanding.
Yeah.
Better than anything else. Though the winds may blow, the sea may roll,
my.
You're sitting here like, you know what? It's nothing but the truth.
Amen.
Nothing but the, there's no hurt feelings.
Oh, my.
There's no, nothing but love here.
Yes.
Amen. You come in here, and guess what? You get to see God one more time.
Yes.
You got to walk in and see God one more time.
Amen.
And to sit on that and to not be blessed by that, what else are you going to do? What else are you looking for? What are your priorities on?
Amen.
Say, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
Well, you got to know where God's at. Where's
exactly
God at?
Right.
He's not in a closet. He's not in the sky. They said there's silence in heaven.
That's right.
Where'd he go? Where's he at?
He's in his people.
Lord, so I thank you for revelation
my.
That you can see it. I love the fact that, you know, they say, well, I don't see how anyone can't see it. You know, he puts internal representation in me.
Yes.
I have that I can't even. Amen. That's nothing but the truth. Amen.
Yeah.
Brother Ted, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, that's what we do.
Yeah.
When you see God, you identify quickly.
That's it.
You don't sit there and you don't doubt it. You don't lull it over. That's unbelief. That's the only sin there is. If you don't believe God, then you're not of God. Simple. So,
amen.
I am thankful for this revelation. I'm thankful for one more time that I can come, until I step into eternity, that I can come in here and be one with God. Be one with the body.
Yes.
And truly the body, not just the living body, but the whole body. I love what they said. We're literally surrounded by the body. And
yes.
I was like, well, maybe that's just tight. No, we are literally.
We are surrounded.
All the body is
encompassed.
Here. All the body is here. And all we're going to do is just change our eyes.
That's it.
And it's gone. And you know how fast you blink. I love that. The moment of a twinkling, not even a full blink, a twinkle.
Yeah.
A twinkle. That's quick. That's beyond man's expectations. We always want to quantify things. We always want to put things on it, make rationales out of it. You know what? That's what I love about faith.
Yes.
It's because you can't rationalize faith.
That's right.
You can't quantify faith. You either have perfect faith, you have a revelated faith, or you don't.
Oh, you don't.
Or you're sitting there just like the world wondering like, well, I'll try to manifest something.
Right.
I'll try to do my works. I'll try to produce something. What faith does is faith has you start walking.
Yeah.
And you walk like you never walked before.
That's right.
You'll talk like you never talked before.
Amen.
You'll start saying, well, I see my loved ones.
Yeah.
I'm talking to my loved ones.
Oh, yeah.
Just like Brother Morse. It works for Brother Moore, then it can work for us.
Amen.
It's the same God.
That's right.
It's the same God. If he's talking there, say, talk to me, Brother Childers. Then talk to me, Brother Childers.
Yeah.
Talk to your loved ones.
Yes.
He said, prophesy again. He didn't say, well, just let someone else do it for you.
No.
We're a multi-member. Greater works we will do.
Yeah.
It's not greater works Brother Moore will do. It's not greater works that so-and-so will do.
Yeah.
It's got to be personal.
Amen.
Greater works will I do.
Oh, my.
Because you had to grab the book. You couldn't just have someone else do it by proxy. It's not like it was before where you had to lay your hand on a sacrifice.
Right.
You had to take control of it. It had to be a personal revelation. So you know what? When you see it, you see it. And that's what all this is front part of the service, is just the fact that I want to come and hear God. I know I'm hearing God.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard God since first thing in the morning. God shook my hand multiple times. God said, hey, you know what? It's good to see you one more time.
Yes.
You know what? But you can come in here and you can be like, well, I'm just here for a 6 and 7. Not me. There's no more 6 and 7s as far as I'm concerned.
No more.
We're here with an eternal bride.
Yes.
We're sitting here, and we're going to step into eternity. There's no more work that needs to be done. What else is there to do?
Oh, my goodness.
Except for now we're saying, I know now that I'm like, come on, little bride, get the earth on so I can get out of here. I'm singing their song.
Amen.
I'm not singing a new song.
Right.
I'm singing what they're singing because they've already got it. So, Lord, thank you for revelation.
Amen. Let's go ahead and sing out of the choruses 2:24, It Is Well With My Soul. Amen. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea
regarded my head. Blessed rest for my soul, for it is well,
it is well.
Oh, with my soul.
I'm just grateful to be here. I'm grateful to see the manifestation of God moving, God working in my life. I was a little, you know, I thought we were going to sing when we first got up, and, you know, the little people went ahead and started going. And I looked over because I realized we were about ready to hit a prayer. And my son, I don't know if you've ever seen this or not, but I've been working on him. When even if someone else is praying around you, you give respect. You behave respectfully, right?
Amen.
And I've been trying to plug this in for years, right? And so Amen. They stopped. All the kids stopped right there. My son bowed his head.
Amen.
He didn't have to do that. And all the kids were well behaved, because you know how normally if kids stop, you'll see kids go around, right? You'll see kids go around and finish going. Yeah. They all stopped for prayer. All of our kids stopped.
Yeah. Amen.
And they were respectful.
Yes.
And when prayer was over, they just quietly went back to Sunday school.
Amen.
Nobody had to say anything to them.
Amen.
They did what they had to do.
Amen.
Our little people.
Look at that. Look at God.
And that is amazing.
My.
It is amazing to watch.
Amen.
How they are just doing.
Yeah.
Without us being over top of them. Because we are putting the word into them. Because we are reminding them.
Amen.
This is what you do.
Yes.
And you know, it's just, I'm grateful to see that manifestation come forth.
Amen.
I'm grateful for the word that we get, the correction.
Yes.
Every single time I get something
Amen.
To me that I needed. And I especially love the things that I don't know where I'm wrong. And God still speaks to me. And he tells me before I run into a problem, and he tells me when I'm in the middle of a problem. And that's I need that.
Amen.
I need that because my flesh doesn't know.
Right.
You know, it'll try to take me every which way, but the word anchoring into my revelation and where I put my stake down under the word.
Yeah.
That's what keeps me through these things.
Amen.
That's what lets me keep walking.
Yes.
And I am so grateful to be able to do that. And I'm grateful to be here with you all, and I can't wait to hear what God has to say.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm thankful to be part of this.
Yes.
Thankful to be back. Thankful to
Amen.
Have an understanding, a revelation that never leaves you, never forsakes you. I was thinking about something while I was on vacation there. You know, I don't believe this because I'm predestinated. I'm predestinated because I believe it. You know? And, you know,
Amen.
Just thinking about the faith, you know, that's up to us, the faith that we have in his word, you know, and the belief and the desire.
Yes.
You know, to me, faith and desire is pretty close together.
Amen.
If you don't have a desire, you won't have faith.
Right.
If you don't want to pay your tithes, you won't do it.
Right.
Plain and simple, you know.
Amen.
I mean, you should. There's a lot of things you should do.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you love something, you pull to it. If you have faith in something, it'll
yes.
show.
Amen.
And, you know, the Bible says faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
You know, and that's almost a blow to us.
Yeah.
You know, because we think, well, I got faith. I believe it. It's all I got to do. No, that's just a start.
Yep.
And if you believe in it, and if you move out on it, God will reveal more and
that's
more.
That's right.
You know, we'll grow in the grace and the knowledge of Him.
That's right.
And that's one sure sign that somebody believes the Word of God. They grow.
Yeah.
And they grow. And they grow and they grow and they grow and they keep on growing. And you don't have to urge them along. You don't have to prod them along. I say things not to make anybody do anything, but just help us to realize something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. You know, the Word of God comes forth, just helps us to realize what the truth is. It's not forcing anybody. You know, like Brother Morrow says, you know, you want to walk away, walk away. Don't let the door hit you on the way out, and He'll never come after you. You know, because if you don't want this, you can't have it. It's not for you. You cannot have it because He won't force Himself on you.
That's right.
And but, you know, I was thinking about Adam picked me up this morning. Of course, I don't think of Adam. I always think of these things. How could anybody just walk away? And he said, well, I love my family. No, if you love your family, you'd have your family here.
That's right.
You know, and if you loved your family, you wouldn't walk away because it hurts your family. It hurts your church family. It hurts your children. You know, I think others that walked away and, you know, maybe the husband's still here, wife's still here, whatever, you know, you didn't split the home. Yeah. Now you're unequally yoked together. And the children will all be affected by that. They'll be confused. And so to he that knows much, much is required.
That's right.
And, you know, sometimes you don't want to face up with that. And I constantly look at that. And I constantly think, Lord, what else is required of me? Because, you know, I don't know everything, but I know a whole lot. And, you know, I haven't been sleeping all this time. And I think I look at things quite a bit in that sense. You know, you see a young pup, and a young pup is he bouncing all over the place. He don't know what to do. He's just going to do something, you know. Old dog, he's sitting over the corner, just thinks, you know, when supper time. You know, let me get out of the way so nobody steps on me, you know. Those kind of things. Old dog stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, I may not bounce around a lot. I used to a little bit. And I used to get all excited and everything. But to me, just the gravity of this thing and just the common sense of this thing is just so perfect to me. You know, if you want salvation, it's right there. If you want a God to lead and guide you into all truth, and if you want all things to work for your good, it's right there if you want it.
Amen.
If you can believe it, if you desire that. And I think when people walk away from, what are they walking away from? Everything, you know. He was on a little sailboat, kind of wasting some time yesterday. I had to wait for the plane out in Seattle, and had this little boy, you know, and he was about yay big, and he just wanted to run so bad, you know, just had to do something, wanted to do something, just wouldn't sit still for anything, as little boys do. And but we was on a sailboat, had rails on it and everything, and he could have fell over. And so the little, you know, the father was holding on to him tight, you know, whether he wanted to be held on to or not. And he didn't.
Pulling away.
But he just wanted to run. And he might have done all right. He might not have fell off. But with the father holding his hand, there was no way he was going to fall off.
There was no way.
You know, and I think, why go out here and just take chances? And, you know, and I'm not a real conservative fellow myself. I've taken my chances, and I've gotten in trouble over it and everything. But you learn as you grow.
Yeah.
And I don't climb trees so much anymore. I'm not on the rooftop so much anymore. You know, I try to be a little wiser these days. But I like being a place where He's got a hold of me. I really do. I like being a place of surety.
Yeah.
And not taking chances. I used to.
Amen.
Do a lot of things, but I don't do those things anymore. You know, my desire is Him, and my love is for Him.
Amen.
And this is the thing I want. Yes. You know, I've made my mind up.
Yes.
You know, I'm not bouncing around. Shenandoah, when she was younger, every week she wanted to do something else, wanted to do something different. You know, she wanted to do this, wanted to do that, wanted to do this. Oh, okay, is that this week? Yeah. Okay, I'll wait till next week, see if that holds for 2 weeks solid or what. Well, she's finally homed in on something as she's gotten older. And, you know, we look at things and we look at the common sense of it, and I just want to be in a place where I know where I'm at.
Yeah.
You know, I don't play around things as much anymore.
Right.
My desire is to be true, you know, and to be responsible. You know, Amen. As you get older, you try to hold on to your money a little bit better. You get a little bit more vision of tomorrow. Yeah. When you're young, you don't think about tomorrow. But you know, I'm looking at tomorrow. I'm looking at a rapture.
Yeah.
You know, and natural types of spiritual. Even in my own natural life, I try to you know, do things that matter, and do things that'll last. But you know, I've got to want to do that. You know, I was on this cruise ship, and there's a whole lot of people that hadn't got that point yet. They just living like there's no tomorrow, and I think, maybe they never will learn. But you know, I love this word. I love where God has brought. I love growing in the grace and knowledge of Him. You know, when you give to something, it becomes more real to you.
Yes.
You know, you know, people that's never smoked a cigarette, you give to it. That desire is there. That addiction comes, you know. If you've never drank, you know, you drink a little bit, and you know, there's an addiction that comes with it. And the same thing in the spiritual. You know, I want to give to the Word of God. Yeah. I want to give to, because to me, the Word of God is just so simple. It's so common sense. You know, like I say, you want these blessings, they're right there for you.
Yeah.
You know, don't walk away from it. Right. Walk towards it. You know, and especially in this day, you know, it's a serious time. And, you know, to he that knows much, much is required. And if any time we should take this thing serious, it's now. Amen. If ever a time that, Lord, I love you now. Yeah. If ever a time. And I look all around me, and I, you know, there's much, much shown to us. Yeah. And there's much, there's a lot of people riding on me. You know, my token.
Oh, yeah. You don't even know it.
You know, my love. There's a lot of people riding on me, and I don't want to take that lightly. There's a lot of people looking at me. You know, even on this cruise ship, there's thousands of people on that thing. Mm-hmm. You just shoulder to shoulder, and I met a few, and I met them. I thought, well, I'll see you again sometime. Never saw them again. Too many people. They got lost in the crowd. I got lost in the crowd. And, you know, and that's the way the world is. And every part of your life matters.
Yeah.
You know, when we sat down and prayed,
Amen.
You know, when we had a meal in a big crowded room and everything, we prayed for every meal. It didn't matter what anybody thought, not ashamed of the Lord. And some of them got up and walked away. Yeah. Some of them probably looked and maybe didn't say anything, but, you know, but this is my life.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. I've counted the cost. I've paid the price. There's too much to gain.
Yeah.
Too much to gain, turn away from this. And it, you know, it just weighs on my heart when I see somebody walk away. You know, I was thinking this morning, there used to be a minister here. He said, oh, there's no place I'd rather be. Well, I guess he found some place he'd rather be because he's not here. You know, and faith is an everyday thing.
Yeah.
Faith, you know, you don't get to a plateau and you got it. You know, I don't have to go to church anymore. You know, we say that, and in one sense, that might be true, but I wouldn't take the chance. The token's not for people here. This token is not for people that know. People that know are responsible. And I'm just rattling maybe a little bit, but this thing's kind of been on my heart.
Amen.
And I'm looking at this thing's more and more serious every day of my life.
Yes.
It's not something I take lightly. It's something I want to take more serious.
Amen.
You know, like the song says, Lord, if I need you, if I ever need you, Lord, it's now. You know,
That's today, right.
I need you. Before I leave this door, I need you. And this is should be the desire of every heart. You know, when we start young, it's a good thing. You know, when you think about exercise, think about running, things like that. Once you get going, once you get to the place where it's kind of comfortable, don't stop now.
Right.
You know, keep it up.
Keep going.
If you want to testify, get up and testify. Say, well, I'll overcome that time. Well, don't stop now. You know, it's time to press the battle. It's time to get it under your belt. It's time to say, I'm a testifier.
Amen.
You know, I'm a tithe payer. I'm a runner. You know, whatever you want to call
that's
it, you
right.
know. You run this race with patience, but you don't stop.
Yeah.
You know, that's an ongoing thing. You don't say, well, I've run a good race. But, you know, and I love how this works. I love how it builds. I'm trying to express what's in me. You know? But I love how this thing builds. But it's a pressing hour. You know, I sit there and say, you know, Satan's not in my picture, but I fight him out of my picture all the time.
Yeah.
You know, that's how he's out of my picture. That's how he's out of my picture. I fight him off. I run him off. You know, you give yourself to the Lord and you resist the devil and he flee from you. That's the word. You know, and if you don't do that, the devil will be on you. The devil will be in your picture, you know, and you can't have that. You know, you shouldn't want that. I want this thing real. I want it right. If you're going to do anything, you know, I've half done a lot of things in my life.
Yeah.
But I want to do this all the way. I want this to be real. You know, I found my true love now.
Yes.
I found my passion now.
Yes.
This is what I love. This is what I need.
Amen.
This is what will pay off. This is the investment that's going to do it for me, you know. This will give my retirement in heaven. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's a time when the devil ain't giving up. You know, we said to them, you know, we're done. The bride's here. It's a finished work. And we're in the midst of the rapture. And that's all well and true. But, you know, it's still a press.
Yeah.
Till a press until it comes to pass. We believe it until we see it. You know, we press that battle. And that's, if anything, I would encourage a bride with, and would always encourage a bride with, is press that battle. There'll always be a battle, but always know that the Word of God's right there. Always know that the truth of God's Word is yea and amen. If you know, why would I walk away from healing? Why would I walk away from eternal life? Why would I walk away from a guarantee everything's going to work for my good? Why in the world would I ever want to walk away from that?
Right.
My love is this. This is what I want. This is, I've counted the cost. This is my pearl of great price. I give everything for this.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, sis. Brother Tommy, you'll be next, and you'll be the last one.
I'm glad I made it, you know. I'm happy to be here, and I was thinking, you know, I was running this morning. When you run a really long race, your body has this glycerin levels, and if you don't get food, you can't finish the race. Your body just doesn't do it. So I was thinking, you know, Sundays and Wednesdays, this is my little nutrition bar that keeps me going, you know, because I'm running this race. You know, the other thing I was thought about, when you run a long race, I mean, I can see it. We are so close to the end. Amen. You know, we're that last couple miles. Yeah. You don't stop. You never stop, man. Like, why would you stop when you're so close?
Amen.
You know, you got to keep running. And in those last few miles, they're easy because you know that it's going to be over.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
At some point, this race will be over.
Amen.
It's not, I'm not running for infinity. This race will be over. And then I'll get to sit
Amen.
And enjoy my, you know, my victory, my medal.
Amen.
You know, and I was thinking, you know, you run and you run faster. You don't stop. You don't slow down. You push that last few miles. You know, and I'm pushing this. And also, you know, today is Jeremiah and I's anniversary. You know, a lot of people want it to be something, you know, I wake up to flowers and, you know, go out to a fancy restaurant. But no, the most important thing I could do is wake up, get ready, come to church. You know, we built our life on this revelation, and it is the strongest because of it, you know, because you build on that foundation. Like you were saying, two believers in a house, either he's going to get me or I'm going to remind him, you know, but there's always God in there.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever God's there, you can't fail,
can't.
You know, and I just thank God for that rest because I know, like, oh, it's 17 years, but I'm looking forward to however long God's got us here. It's going to be that far, you know.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. I thank God for a man of God.
Yes.
You know, it's just, you put the word in and whatever. And I was just, it hit me so hard on Sunday and Wednesday, how close we are. It is so close. I can taste it, you know. I was like, oh my goodness, the body. You know, you think about these things. I've heard these things my entire life, but it just gets clearer and clearer. It's like when you have those, you know, the binoculars and you're zooming in and like, oh, I see it. It's clear.
Yeah.
You know, and I just thank God so much for that. I thank God for this place.
Amen.
I'm glad to be home and get my nutrition because, you know, I need this. I was getting weak out there. I'm glad to be home and get another bite. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Go ahead, Brother Tommy.
So I wanted to come up here this morning. Our baby boy that we had prayer cloth for a year ago, just turned one on Wednesday. And
amen.
And on the way here, Paisley kept telling me, hey, Dad, you need to get up there and say that Levi turned one. You need to get up there and say Levi turned one. And so I was trying to explain to her. And I said, well, if that's something that's on your heart, then that can be your testimony.
That's right.
Right? So we just wanted to come up here. And we wanted to give all the glory to God.
Amen.
For our baby boy being here. Amen.
Amen. That's all right. Let's sing out of the chorus 191, God Has Smiled on Me. And he smiled on all of us. And don't forget the announcements. We've got the fall services October 17th to the 20th. And then we've got the church trip to Indiana, the camping trip, and 2:00 p.m. departure. Praise God, and thank you for the testimonies.
God has smiled on me. He has set me free. He's been good to me.
of A. Go over to page 204. Just want to praise God a little bit. Yes. You deserve the glory and the honor. Yes, I lift my hands in worship as we praise your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Oh, we lift our hands and worship as we praise your holy name. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. He's worthy. Oh, we lift our hands in worship as we bless your holy name. You deserve the glory.
Just think of 2,000 year brides worshiping him this morning.
And the honor. We say we, it's the entire bride. And we lift our hands in worship. And we praise your holy name. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no praise God this morning. Yes, you deserve the glory and the honor. He's worthy. And we lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy. Glory.
our hands in worship, and we bless your holy name, for you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you. Five Kid D.
Amen.
I just want to praise him.
Yes.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me. You died and rose again. Amazing love. Yes, amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love. No, it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me. You died and rose again. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. Amazing love. Yes, amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, should die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, it's my joy to honor you. In all I do, to honor you. In all I do, I honor you. Dear God, thank you for everything. We stand here this morning, Lord, and we sing your praises. We worship you. You've been so good to us. You've gone before us, you've been behind us, you've been all around us, you've been our protection, you've been our keeper. You've given us and supplied everything we needed. Thank you for that. Thank you for this clear understanding. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for a right mind. Thank you for peace. Thank you for joy. Thank you for a one-year-old boy. Thank you for 17 years of marriage. Thank you for letting us see where we're at and where we're standing, and that we're part of you and that we came from you and we're going back to you. You've been so good to us, Lord, and we just want to thank you and worship you and praise you. Thank you for this service this morning, Lord. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the songs. Have your way with the rest of the service, Lord. Preach to us, talk to us. Lord, you know what we need to hear. You know what you want to say. Have your way. Move both the hearer and the speaker out of the way. Be with the bride around the world. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling. Be with them. Give them a safe journey. Give them a good time. Bring them home safely to us. Be with Brother George in Africa and his family, Lord. Touch his needs. Lord, touch Sister Moore's eyes. Lord, just some people that are not here this morning, Lord, that should be here, Lord. Lord, somehow just go convict their heart and bring them back home to us. We thank you for your love, your mercy and grace, and everything you've done for us. We ask and pray and ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to see everybody this morning. It's good to be home. And you know, Brother Moore and Brother James are gone, and so I've got a few services here to preach. I decided I'm just going to take my time. I don't have to be in a hurry about nothing. And so it's good to be home, and God's good. I traveled for work and then went on a little trip with my family, and we had a good time. God bless. But every day, last day of any trip I've ever been on, the family's ready to go home. There's no place like home. And, you know, while we're there, we enjoy it. We have a great time. We do all the things that we want to do that we can afford to do, of course. But, you know, we do it all, and we every second we try to give it our all, and we enjoy it. But we get to the end, and it's like there's no place like home. And that's how I feel about heaven. Oh, I'm enjoying this walk. I have no complaints. Yeah, you know, it's like Brother Deskin always tells us. Until then, I'm going to go on singing. I, with the revelation we have, we should be the happiest group of people on the face of the earth, and we know that. And so I'm happy to hear. I'm enjoying every day. Give us this day our daily bread and things. But you know what? I won't be sad when it's time to go home. When it's time to go home, I'm going to be, if the Lord willing, I'll be the first in line. But I know even if I'm the first, the second, the last, whatever, I'm going. And I'm looking forward to it because he said, let not your heart be troubled. I go and prepare a place for you. And if it was not so, I would not tell you. Right. Thank God he cannot lie. Amen. And so it is good to see you all. And those announcements, you know, what we'll do is I put back there this morning the actual physical address to where we're going camping. Because I know some people will drive separate. Some people are just going to come over Sunday for church. So the address is back there. We'll start trying to announce that as well. And I'll even try to get it. I probably won't put it on the announcement because everybody sees that, but you just got to get back there and look. Then what we're going to do is July 20th, after that's done, then we'll move and shift towards a little bit more information about the fall trip. But I don't always love having two sign-up sheets back there unless we have to because it can get confusing. So we'll try to get past this first event, and then we'll give us more information. We just got giving you the date so you can at least plan in case you want to go. I can say this comfortably. As of right now, we're not taking a bus, so just know that. We ain't taking a busload of people again, so it'll be a little different trip, but more to come on that. Amen. I don't want to say too much because Brother Moore's allowed to come back and say, well, I've changed my mind, we're going to do this. But more will come on that. Just keep these things in mind. And we always do a lot throughout the year, and God's been good to us. And as always, you guys had church while we were gone. We don't stop having church here. Amen. And Brother Moore preached a good service, of course, and so many things to be said about that. And then here comes Brother James, and he tried to preach the whole book of Revelations, plus Genesis, and then all the way in between. And I enjoyed it, you know. You know, what happens to a person, man and woman, when this revelation, more information comes upon it, and you start seeing things, they get brighter. It gets you joy. It gets you excited because you see yourself in there. You see where you're going. You see where you come from, and in some ways, not the evidence, but you can't help but want to, you know, rejoice. You know, James said, "Get out of my way Wednesday night." You know,
And there's nothing wrong with that, you know. God doesn't love us to be in ruts anyhow. He likes to change things up and slide in different ways. This morning he decided to start us with prayer. I trust that more about God than somebody that's figured him out. You know, Brother Morris taught us that. This ain't my message, but if I know what time you're going to get up and I know what time you're going to get up every service, and I know you're that, then that starts sounding like manufacturing to me. I can guess it, and then the devil can get in the midst. Once the devil figures out, he'll get in the midst. But when he don't got it figured out, he can't stop it. And so I love a God that changes things up like that, because he's ahead of the devil. The devil's always behind him. God's always ahead of the devil. And so, but James was excited about what he knew. And you know, every time you preach out of the book of Revelation, no matter how many times, the brighter it gets, the more I get excited, the more I rejoice. It never gets old to me. This story doesn't get old, Brother Deskin. It gets fresher and fresher. You know, thinking about what you and Brother Ted said this morning, I appreciate it. You know, I appreciate what Brother Ted did. Thank you for getting out of the way, Ted. You know, you got to get out of the way when God tells you to do something. And he made it strong, and you know, you'd say, well, he almost made it sound like the evidence. Ted knows what the evidence of the Holy Ghost is. He's been going to church longer than you have. He knows what the evidence of the Holy Ghost is. So don't worry about that. But he's trying to make a point. You know, the Bible says, don't be a hearer only, but be a doer. And the same person who wrote that, James, you know what he also said? Faith without works is dead. Amen. And so, you know, you believe something, you love something, you do give to it. Now, we know we all ain't going to be the same. We all ain't doing the same thing. But if you love something, you'll give to it. You'll come to it. You'll want to be around it. I like being around my wife. I've been married to her 17 years. I give a lot to it. She gives a lot back, et cetera, et cetera. You guys know those details. You've been married. We love each other. You don't have to force me to give to her. You don't have to force me to do things for her. I do it because I love her. And she does things because she loves me. It's not even, the Bible says a man should do this and a woman should do that, but I want to do it, you know, because I love her. It's my desire to do it. It's not by law, Brother Lockett. It's out of love. The law is not really for a righteous man anyhow, is what the Bible said. I don't need law now that I'm mature like I am. I'm grown up. I got a full word understanding. I see the whole picture that God's revealed. I serve him because I love him. I want to be here this morning. If I didn't want to be here, I wouldn't be here this morning. I got a lot of things in the natural I enjoy, but there's something in me. I just want to be here. It's like an addiction. It says, the deer panteth for the water brook, so does my heart longeth after thee, O God. I need this. It is my strength. It is my energy. It is what allows me to run the race. You stop eating, you get weak. That's natural. We know that. You stop eating spiritually, you get weak. You got to get to the house. You got to get to where the word is. The Bible says where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And any trial I went through, any test I went through, even when I didn't feel like coming to church, so to speak, because that's how down I thought I allowed myself to get. And it was just me allowing myself, just me opening up myself to the devil. But the only way out of it was I kept coming to church. Had to press. Had to keep going. Amen. Even when I didn't even know if God was real, I still came to church. Because the only way I was going to figure it out was get to church. The only way I was going to find out if he's real is come to church. Amen. I wasn't going to find out if he's real at home. I was going to find out if he's real here at church. Amen. And lo and behold, I got through it. Yeah. In the next trial, when I was down, so to speak, and in the Mardi Gras, so to speak, and didn't want to wake up, so to speak, I got myself up and I came to church despite my feelings, despite my emotions, despite what the world was telling me, despite what the devil was telling me, despite what my mind itself was telling me, despite that it was the greatest battle I ever fought, despite the devil was telling me, oh, this is too hard. It isn't too hard. We're more than conquerors, more than able. We're overcomers. He's made us overcomers. We can't lose even when we try to lose. Even when Jonah tried to lose, he couldn't lose. So God's got us covered. But you got to get here and get strong. You got to eat on the word. You got to let God talk to you. You got to let him remind you and stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. Don't you remember when you were just 13? Or don't you remember when you were 18? Don't you remember when you was going through this? Don't you remember when you was going through that? Who was there for you then? It was me. I already had an answer before you even got there. And I gave it to you. And I brought you through.
Why would you doubt me now? Yeah, I brought you through the bear. I brought you through the lion. I got you through Goliath. What else do you want me to show you? I'll get you through everything you need to get through. That's what God will do for you. Oh, we're not defeated. We're more than conquerors. More than able. There's nobody greater than him. And the Bible says, Brother Lockett, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Oh, it's greater than even what your flesh wants. It's greater than what your mind goes through. It's greater than how you feel this morning. Oh, the God that created the whole earth can change your circumstance in a split second this morning. You just got to believe and trust him that he's here going to talk to you and he's going to deal with you and he's going to provide everything you have need of. Just get out of the way. Just yield yourself to God. Just let go. Let go of your thought. Let go of your stubbornness. Let go of your worry. Let go of what the devil's talking to you. Put a sheep to the side and say, God, talk to me this morning. Deal with me this morning. Remind me who I am this morning. Remind me that I've come from you, that I'm going back to you. Oh, we should feel even better now. Oh, if I had a little doubt in my mind, I should be pushing out now. Oh, God knew me and saw me before I even got here. Before I had the ability to do good or evil. Before I even came going through this trial I'm going through right now. When I don't feel so good, when I'm battling my mind. He saw that before it even happened. And he already provided the increase. He already knew what I was going to need. He's going to give it to me before I even knew I needed it. Oh, that makes me feel good this morning. He knows what you need this morning. He knew what you needed before you got here this morning. You woke up tired, woke up trying to get up out of your sleepiness, worrying about what you did yesterday, worrying about what you got to face tomorrow. He knows what you need. Let tomorrow take care of itself. Today is the day of God. Oh, he's present tense. That's what he said about the little sparrows and the flowers in the field. He said the rain comes sometimes, but God takes care of them. He takes care of the sparrows and knows what they need. How much more, Jesus said, will he take care of one of his? Oh, he's got you taking care of people. Just remind yourself. Remind that devil. Send him on his way. Use the word on him like Jesus did. That's what Jesus did every time. It is written. It is written. It is written. Oh, you made this mistake yesterday. It is written, Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who walk after Christ, not after the flesh. Put the word on him. Oh, it don't matter what I do. When he comes and lies to you to that, say, no, it is written. Faith without works is dead. I serve God because I love God. Don't be a hearer, only be a doer. Talk to him when he lies. His devil's a liar. He's going to tell you you're not good enough one day. Next day, he's telling you it doesn't matter what you do. And both times, just put the word on him and send him along the way. I was studying yesterday, and I was telling Dwayne last night, because, you know, when you study sometimes, it always happens to me. You're looking for one quote, and before you get to it, you read another. And this quote I'm about to share with you is not even my message. But it was in the message, How Can I Overcome? And it was so interesting. At the beginning of that message, Brother Branham reads the Revelation, the third chapter, lay out a sea and age to him that overcometh will I grant, blah, blah, blah. To set with me in my throne is what I think it says. But he kind of starts off, he says, you know, it was kind of interesting. It kind of reminded me of Brother Children, Brother Moore. He said, you know, I want to just come here and this is a house correction. He says, I love fellowship with y'all, but if I want to do that, I'll come to your house. I'll sit down and eat dinner with you. And we'll have some good fellowship. But I'm paraphrasing, this is a house correction. And he said, you know, he said, it's almost time I feel like I need to take you higher, but basically we're going to stay simple today. And this is a house correction because you shouldn't let your revival fire die. So he came driving in. He's like, I know you're on the prophet, and I know you want something deep, but I'm going to remind you who you are this morning. And it was funny you said it this morning, Brother Doug. And this is, he said, it's an everyday walk. An everyday life. Don't let your revival fire die. You got to give to this thing every day, so to speak. And it's not working up something and making yourself worthy. It's just that this is an everyday walk. It's a press. It's a fight. It's a battle. But you got what you need to overcome it. And he said, don't let that thing die. Nothing worse, he said, than going to church and letting that revival fire die, just sitting there for no good reason. And so So that must have been a reason why I read that. So we could talk, say it. I could say it this morning, but that's what he said. Amen. And he said, oh, you want to talk about overcome? He said, Laodicea is the hardest, worst age there is. He said, this is the hardest age to overcome, but we're overcomers. There's a bride somewhere that has overcome the devil and will stay with the word no matter what the cost. Amen. That's you and that's me. So it's good to be here. Turn with me to a very familiar chapter in the Bible. Revelation is the 10th chapter. I got to turn there too, so give me a minute. Now, we've probably preached out of this chapter more than any other chapter since I've been going to church here. And there's a good reason, because it really is our chapter, centerpiece of the book of Revelation, truthfully. Because in this chapter is how you learn about what the book of Revelation means. But I was thinking, because there's so many places I could start, right? There's a lot of different ways to make the same point. But I haven't really preached on the book of Revelation 10th chapter and read it for a while. So I thought, we're going to do it.
Amen.
Because it means so much to us.
Yes.
You know, I was thinking yesterday, I was even thinking on vacation a little bit. You know, we are blessed in so many ways. In a lot of ways, we know it. We thank God for it. Right? We can always sometimes take it for granted. We all do. We're guilty of that. But we're so blessed, because think about your nominal churches today. I was thinking about this week. Church to them is just a social gospel. In a lot of cases. Now, there's churches out there that try to do a little bit more and go into some depths and things. But I'm saying in general, you go out in the world, the people you know go to church, it's a social gospel to them. And good for them. If it helps them in their life, makes them a good neighbor, helps them feel good, gives them mental faith, good for them, you know. But it's social. It's just seeing each other. It really is. It's still about building hospitals and treating everybody nice and helping each other along the way and feeding the poor and fighting against abortion. It's the everyday thing, and not against any of it in that sense. But that's all they see this Bible and God is. Go to church on a Sunday, see our friends, learn a little bit about God. Because I went to church, it means I serve Him. We'll try to live a little bit better, but it don't really matter too much. Just live a little bit. Get along, accept everybody, because now they're changing the Bible to what they want it to be so that they can accept everybody. That's all it is to them. They have no true understanding what the whole purpose of this book is. Think about it. I mean, this is God's word. God's entire purpose. Everything He wants to do, everything He wants to be, everything He wanted is in this book. And here we are this morning, blessed. That God came down and revealed Himself to us, sent us a prophet, told us what's really going on, showed us our purpose, shows what's happening today, tells us what He's been doing from the beginning. This ain't just coming to church so I can say hi to you. I'm here really hearing what God's plan is, where He's at today, what He's trying to accomplish. We actually know what's going on. This is more than just a Sunday get together. This is the throne of God. The word of God coming from the mouth of God. So much so I believe the same God that was in Jesus Christ is in the bride. That word, we've been united with it. It's become who we are. We see God. We talk to God. He's moving still. He's alive still. He's doing things still. Oh, the centerpiece was Christ. We know we had to have Him. But it didn't stop there. That was just one fold of the thing. God wanted to be in Christ. Sure. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in Christ. Yeah. Brother Bram taught us God as a great spirit wouldn't be understood by mankind. Right. So He worked Himself down to human flesh and poured Himself into Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was a walking, moving, leaving, living God right before people.
Amen.
Had a full word understanding.
Yeah.
Represented God to the earth.
Yeah.
You handled Him, you handled God.
That's right.
And He came and paid the price.
Yeah.
For yours and my sin, to make a way back for you and me.
Yeah.
Thank God for that.
Yes.
But God came down.
Yeah.
And then the other half of the people, that's all they have. That's an important part. I'm not a little.
Yeah.
But God didn't stop there.
No.
Oh, one of our favorite verses. Except a corn of wheat falls into the ground
yeah.
and dies, it abides alone.
Yeah.
God didn't want to abide alone. He wanted fellowship. He wanted a group of people. He wanted a body of believers that he could live in and have their preeminence in. He didn't just stop at Jesus Christ. He wanted a Mrs. Jesus Christ. He wanted a bride. And you think about this book I'm getting ready to read out of. I'm going to get there. Like I told you, I got a few services to preach. I'm in no hurry. That book up there, it told us everything about these church ages. And people are going to church this morning, they're running away from the book of Revelation. Have no clue what it means. And you're here this morning, unless you're brand new or something, that's okay. You don't have to understand everything. You look at that picture up there, and you say, that's part of who I am. That's the bride. That's what God was building for 2,000 years. That's what he wanted. That was our feet and our arms and our waist, and it was God making this beautiful body, and we didn't even know it. And most of the church world today still don't know it. And here we are this morning. Turn over to Revelation, the 10th chapter. Not arrogantly, but confidently, with a revelation. We can go in the book of Revelations, and we see ourselves. We see our names. Yes. We see what God's been doing, what God's wanted from the foundation of the world. Yes. We see what John sees. So that excites me this morning. Yes. Brother Branham, God's in a prophet, and we know it's not only in a prophet. We know that the prophet's dead and God's still here, and he's in a many-member bride body. And you can't get stuck at the prophet. But we also know we wouldn't have it without the prophet. Because God does nothing. Amos, look it up. The third chapter, verse 8. It says, God will do nothing until he reveals it first to his servants, the prophets. So we had to have a prophet. And thank God we did. Because he's the one who really pointed us back to the book. He said, we believe what Paul believed. We preach what Paul preached. We baptize a certain way. There's only one God. We're not denomination. You're born again this way, not just because you had some sensation. Not because you're just going to church and shaking the pastor's hand. You got to be born again. He taught us what a real new birth was. Taught us everything. God has brought us the word through that prophet. So we stand here this morning different than any other group. The bride I'm talking about in general. Not just 1744, but the bride of Jesus Christ has had her eyes open around the world. Recognizes who she is, where she's standing. How she got there. She was in God's mind the whole way. What God's been doing for 2,000 years. Why? Because God sent us a prophet. He come down himself, gave it to a prophet, and showed it to us. So let's see if we can slow down here. Revelation, the 10th chapter. To understand this book of Revelations is a special thing. It's our book. And it's our love letter. It belongs to us. And I understand it opens up the entire book. Because I understand it from Genesis to Revelation. Revelation, the 10th chapter. Verse 1. Now we all know, and I'm going to try to get back there, Lord willing, to Revelation, the 5th chapter. But remember what Brother Moore read to us last Sunday. They were weeping because the book was closed initially. And there was no man worthy to open the book. Oh, you realize that Paul, as good as he was, could not open the book. John the Baptist, who Jesus himself said there's no man greater in shoe leather than John the Baptist, couldn't open the book. William Branham, and we know how good he was, could not open the book. Adam could not open the book. No man in heaven and the earth could open the book but the Lamb of God. Christ himself, the worthy one, stepped forward. He was the one that was worthy to open the book. That book was closed, and I'm going to explain it to you in a minute, but it was closed because God was redeeming his bride. Let me slow down. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. In case you were wondering, that mighty angel was Christ himself. The God himself. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout and a voice and a trump. God, Christ himself, the one that stepped forth off the throne to come and grab the book. That's the one that come down. And he brought all of them with him. We know that too. We'll get that in a little bit. But the Lord himself, Christ, the mighty angel, he started working himself down to earth.
Amen.
Come down from heaven. That's where Brother Moore talked about. I've told you, I got to go slow. I want to slow it down a little bit. Remember, Brother Moore read Romans, Revelation 8th chapter, verse 1. Seventh seal, silence in heaven.
Right.
Now, before he got there, though, he talked about there being noise in heaven. He talked about how these seals were open in heaven first.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great to know.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't want to jump ahead, but I'm so glad they know what we know.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we're one. I'm so glad we see the same thing. I'm so glad we're moving as a body. I'm so glad they're here this morning in one sense saying amen, just like you're saying amen. Oh, that gets me excited how close they are. So it was open in heaven. They got the same seven thunders we got. In that sense, the seals open. They got it. They realized who they were. But then there were signs in heaven. That God, Christ, and those believers he brought down here to earth. He came down to earth. See, this book's written in symbols.
Right.
It was written that way on purpose. Because we're going to get to verse 3 and 4 here where God told John, don't write, not seal it up.
Right.
And the way he sealed it up, he wrote it in symbols so people could probe at it and guess at it, but not know the real truth of it until the Lord himself come down and revealed it to us.
Right.
So here we are. Now the Christ is coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was up on his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And notice what verse 2 says. And he had in his hand a little book open. Now, in Revelation, the 5th chapter, they were weeping because it was closed. But here in the 10th chapter, Brother Deskins, it's open. The scene changed. It went from a closed book to an open book. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. That's what I just told you. John got to see it. Then God said, seal it up.
Right.
And the way he sealed it up, he put it in this book and he wrote it in symbols, and it was hid from the world because it's been hidden in God's mind since the foundation of the world.
Amen.
But it's in this chapter where the seven thunders utter their voices, and we finally learn what these seven thunders are because that book is open and it's Christ coming down. And just so you know, a thunder is the voice of God.
Yes.
You'll find it in the Bible. You'll find it in the prophet's message. The thunders is the voice of God telling you what this word really means.
Yes.
Telling you what the seals were.
Amen.
Telling you what his plan is, the whole redemption. It's God down here uttering himself to you. Telling you who he is. Telling you what he wanted. Telling you his whole plan.
Amen.
That's what these seven thunders were. But he had it hid for a reason.
Amen.
And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer.
Right.
But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Now I'm going to stop there for a little bit. We'll get back to it, but we're going to stop. Now, you notice in verse 7, they talked about the mystery of God being finished. What is that mystery, you could ask, because it's no longer mysterious to us. It's the fact that he was building a bride for 2,000 years, roughly, through seven church ages, that every believer in every age was making up that bride, and they didn't even know they were making up a bride, doing what they were ordained to do, doing what they were supposed to do in the age in which they came in. They recognized their day and the message and the hour that they were in. And the whole time God is building a bride off that word, off those believers, through all seven church ages long. But he had it hid because he did not want the devil to see it and try to mess with it. So he hid and kept it hid and kept it covered over. But here when the mystery is finished, meaning when it's built, when all seven ages are built, he says, now I can show you what I've been doing, what I've wanted since the foundation of time. It's arrived now. Here's Mrs. Jesus Christ, and she's a seven church age bride body. Spotless. Oh, you say we've heard this a lot, but what's getting real to me is it's bigger than I sometimes think. See, I get caught in this little world sometimes. And I know God cares about my everyday life. He helps me in my everyday life. It's an individual affair. On one side of the coin, examine yourself. You work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You got to get born again. You got to serve God for yourself. It's an individual affair on one side of the coin. So we haven't forgot that, but I'm going to flip that coin for a minute. This is bigger than you and my head. If I can get to it, I'm going to get to 1 Corinthians 12. But by one spirit, we're all baptized into what? A body.
A body.
The minute you get born again, it connects you to a body. They just didn't know it. But today, with the book being open and God's coming down himself and giving it to a prophet and opening it up to us and telling us what it is, we can now see a 2,000-year-old bride body.
Amen.
Not just made up of you and me. She's complete and standing on her feet.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, help me. I want to read a few things to you. This is bigger than just you and me. This is bigger than just Don Destin's everyday life. Oh, we're here just part of a body.
Amen.
We represent a 2,000-year-old body.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, when that book opened to us, that had already opened in heaven, they see it. We see it. We see the same thing this morning. We understand, both the living saints and the sleeping saints this morning understand who we are.
Amen.
And what part we played and what role we played.
Amen.
Oh, if I make anything else too hard, I don't mean to. I want to try to keep it simple as I can. Just, that's my one point I want to get across to you.
Amen.
That 2,000-year-old bride body. From Paul's age all the way up to now, every believer that's made up the bride, they have the same understanding you have this morning.
Oh, yeah.
The book's been open to both sides.
Oh, yeah.
As Brother Moore taught us last week, the subscriptures apply to both simultaneously.
Amen.
And this morning we are a complete bride unit. Mrs. Jesus Christ standing on our feet. Paul knows what role he played.
Amen.
Luther knows what role he played. Wesley knows what role he played. Pentecost knows what role they played. Columbus knows what role he played. And all those believers now say, I see my name in the book. I see exactly what I did. They have the same understanding you and I have this morning. Intelligence has come to the body. This bride ain't just 1744 Superior Avenue. It's a 2,000-year-old universal bride all around the world. The gospel's traveled from the east to the west. It's crossed the entire world. And it's still going out and is in the whole world. This bride is a unit.
Oh, yeah.
A many-member bride body.
Right.
And we're identified with it this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, when Luther nailed those 95 theses, I was there. When Wesley traveled the world, I was there.
Yeah.
When they danced in the spirit, I was there.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I still dance in the spirit this morning. I still see healings today.
Yeah.
They're still part of the body.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm here to tell you, if I never saw another one, I've done everything I'm supposed to do this morning because my body's done it. Oh, let's open my eyes, Lord. Let me see this is bigger than me. Let me see that they that are with us is greater than they that's in the world. Let me see that it ain't just me trying to fulfill everything. I'm part of a body that's fulfilled everything. This is a many-member body doing the greater works. Not just Jeremiah by himself. It's us. It's the entire bride body across the world.
Amen.
The word manifested. Now, Brother Brown, souls that are in prison now. I have went up to one paragraph too soon because I thought this question that somebody, Brother Brown discerned they asked was something we'd ask. Brother Brown says, he come to redeem. Say, why didn't he redeem them 40 years ago? Question mark. He's picking up that question. Or 2,000 years ago. See, their names are on the book of life and in that book. And he had to stand there here because it was God's purpose to redeem them. Their names were put on the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. The Lamb was put there with it to be slain. He come the lamb when he was slain, came back to make intercessions. That's what Christ was doing all ages long. As we've been told here many times, through it quick, they started losing what Paul had. They didn't have the full word. So God stood there as a mediator, winking at their ignorance, standing in the stead for him, saying, there's mine, their name's on the book, I'm redeeming them, I'm standing in their place until we can come to the full knowledge and understanding. Now watch him. Brother Branham says there's a lot of impersonations, a lot of everything else, but there was really somebody who was going to be saved. The church was predestinated to be without spot or wrinkle. She is going to be there. The Lamb died for that purpose. And then when the last name on the book was redeemed, the Lamb came forth and took the book. I'm the one that did it. Nobody else can take credit. I paid the price. The angels, the cherubims, the 24 elders, the beast, everything uncrowned themselves, fell down before the throne and said, worthy art thou. He's the one who deserves the praises. Oh, I'm not trying to get praise. Oh, you're the bride, you deserve praise. No, all honor. Go over to Revelation 5th chapter. John was giving him praise. John didn't want praise. John was giving Christ praise. Everything fell down. Everything uncrowned himself. Everything said he's worthy. Because he was. He's the only one worthy to take the book and open it. John said, everything in heaven and earth heard me hollering. They all heard the same thing.
Yeah.
Just going to remind you that every once in a while. Because we'll get to that eventually, I hope. But we don't, at least you remember what Brother Moore said. They all heard the same thing.
Yeah.
He joined into the same song.
Amen.
It was a new song. They sang the same song they had at the sleeping saints. They're living in the sleeping sea, the same thing.
Oh,
we're all alive. Yeah. We just call them the sleeping saints because they got bodies in the grave.
Yeah.
But in reality, they're awake.
Yeah.
They're awakened to the message of the hour. They've awakened to where they are. They even know why they're in heaven right now. They even know why they're in the sixth dimension. They know that they want to come back and get bodies. They know things like we know. We want to glorify, or we want a theology, they want to glorify. They want it just as bad as we want it. They're awake. They know. We just represent them as sleeping saints just to separate the two so that even though their body's in the grave, don't worry about it. Brother Branham said the quickening power works in both the dead and the living. Oh, I got that quote. He said when he needed to bring up Moses who was dead, and put him on Mount Transfiguration, he raised him up and showed him on Mount Transfiguration. When Samuel was dead, the witch of Endor called him up, and he had the same gift, same ability to do what he had. That quickening power don't stop because you're dead. It works in both the dead and the living.
Amen.
Oh, that gets me excited. They're awake this morning.
Yes.
Hallelujah and praises God. Scream went up. Why? Their names was in the book. Revealed, and the Lamb had revealed it. They saw their name. They saw their position. They saw their place. What do we see this day? We saw our name. We saw our place. Why do we rejoice? We saw a bride. We saw what part we make up. We see what day we're living in. We see what hour we're here. We see what God's done for 2,000 years. Paul's just as happy to be his part as we are this part. Luther's standing there boldly this morning. He says, I was worried if I could make it, but oh my. That's how I fought that church, Catholic Church, with everything within me. I did exactly what I was ordained to do. And Wesley's sitting there saying, high five, Luther, you sure did. And I took what you had and took another step. You did your job well. Oh, this bride's together this morning. There ain't one better than the other. We're saying, they without us can't be perfect. We without them can't be perfect. We're one complete bride this morning. All understanding our place in this body. Well, here's the part that always gets me excited, because I love this quote. But he could not come forth until every name was revealed. And that was taking place under the sixth seal before the seventh broke. Now, he said that for a reason, too, but that ain't my point I want to make. He couldn't come forth until every name was revealed. Now, we like to think about it as going one, two, three, and it's true. He couldn't come in third age. This is a seven church age body. He couldn't come in the fifth church age because it was a seven church age body. He had to stand there until every name was revealed. He wanted an entire bride unit, not a half-armed one, one arm, one foot, completed, built up, bride. And we can go backwards. It ain't just the seventh age he's coming for. It ain't just us. Though we have a great understanding and we're doing our part, but we needed our shoulders. We needed our eyes. We needed every part of this body. He had to stand there, Brother Deskins, and stay on that throne until every name was revealed.
Amen.
He say, what kind of point you're making? I'm just trying to remind you, because we've heard this preacher over the years, how it's bigger than just these four walls this morning. This is a seven church age bride body. So much so that he stood on the throne until every name was revealed. He didn't stop at the third age and say, I'm happy we've gotten to Martin and his group. He said, I got to stay here until we get to Branham, until we get all the way until every name's revealed, because I want my entire bride. This is one big unit, bigger than just 1744. It's a universal made-up bride through 2,000 years that God had his mind, and he said, I'm going to redeem every one of them, and she's got to be complete before I can even step off this throne.
Amen.
That's what happened in this day and this hour. We talk about 1963 because that's when he came down.
Amen.
But in this day and this hour, he came down because every name had been revealed.
Amen.
Every name had showed up. Every message had showed up. Every group had showed up. Everybody that was going to make his bride had showed up. He says, she's complete now. Now I can come down and marry her and be one with her. And that's where we are this morning. And when he came down and married her and become one with her, the whole body knew it.
Amen.
You don't get your brain and it starts telling your foot without your foot knowing. I'm telling, and my brain's telling my foot to wiggle right now. My foot knows very well what it's being told to do. Oh, it's telling to clap my hands right now. My hand's getting the instructions. It knows what it's getting told. It can't recognize any other headship. It can't recognize any other word. But that's what Brother Bram said. The bride can't recognize any other headship but Christ. That's where we are this morning. We're at the intelligence of the body. We're at the mind age where headships come down to the body. And the body can't recognize any other headship but the one that is here this morning. Say that again in a way I can make it understood. In the natural, you have a brain. That brain is what sends signals to your entire body. It's what tells your toes to wiggle. You know, that's what happens to a person when they get paralyzed. They broke something where the nerves that connect the signals get broke. So those signals don't get sent. That's in the natural, but that brain's sending out those signals saying, do this, do that. And if it's a normal, healthy body, every part of that body takes from that intelligence and it moves. And it does. Well, move that over here to the spiritual. God has a seven church age bride body. We said it many times. Brother Bram taught, there's seven steps, three steps. I can show you four, but all that, all these processes of God building the body is complete this morning.
Oh my.
And once it got complete, God says, every name's been revealed. I'm coming down myself.
Amen. Yeah.
And I'm marrying her.
Right.
And Brother Bram said, that was headship, the mind, the intelligence coming to the body.
Amen.
Well, when you get the intelligence to the body, the whole entire body knows what it's being told to do.
Yeah. Amen.
My right foot knows ahead still while I'm raising my left foot, because if it didn't, I'd fall over.
Yeah.
But my body knows what its brain and signals are sending it, and that's where we are as a bride body this morning.
Amen.
The entire 2,000-year bride body knows what the headship is telling it, knows where they are today, knows what they have been doing, knows their place, and knows it's time to go home. Knows it's not time to build a body. It's time to get out of here, that the body's been built. But God stood there until the entire body was built to redeem the whole thing, because he didn't just want a one church age bride body, he wanted a seven church age bride body. And that's what he got, because she's complete, standing on her feet, moving around. That don't just apply to us that's alive, that applies to them that are sleeping. We're on our feet this morning. I'm not even representing the feet, somebody else represents my feet. To be on my feet, I need them all.
Amen.
And that's where we are this morning. Let me show you a couple things. Brother Destins is trying to get my message. But I ain't jumping. I'm going to get there. I got a quote about the intelligence of life. It's actually one of my centerpieces of my quotes, so he's did me wrong here. I'm teasing. He did me right, actually. It just shows you that God's in the body. That's what I love about it. That's actually should make us rejoice when that happens. Let me read you just a couple quotes, just because they're good ones. Not because I have to. I know you believe them, but this is the first one that I've heard Brother Childers read a lot, and I've heard Brother Moore use. That's why I like them. I just think we've cut our teeth on them. This is out of the Feast of the Trumpets. Brother Branham said that, and immediately after that, the angel of the Lord appeared and told about the seven trumpets, or he said the seven seals, he misspoke, that I was to return back to Jeffersonville and preach the seven seals. And there, if I've ever said anything that was inspired, it was in that. There where the angel of the Lord met us, and the Bible become a new Bible. Now I got to jump over that, because the statement's good in itself. Maybe we'll save that for later. There opened and revealed all the things that the reformers and the things had left out. It was the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. Now that wasn't a play on words, a mess up of words. That was reason he said complete. Because it showed everything, showed the entire story of redemption. Altogether new to us. They sang a new song. But perfectly exactly with Scripture. That was the word which has always been. See, this isn't new word. This isn't outside the book. This has always been in the book. It just was hidden.
Amen.
I was so inspired and directed. Then I would come to this part of preaching the seven trumpets, and I thought, well, I'll not try to think anything. I'll just wait till it's time for him to reveal it. And yesterday, I went into the room wondering why, or beg your pardon, it was before yesterday. When I went in the room to try to understand, it was there that the Holy Spirit opened up to us to show me the reason it, not probably even for the church at this time, because it has nothing to do with the church at all. And I'll just throw this in, seven trumpets is to Israel. And that's what a revelation of God. That's why I said, I ain't going to spend a whole lot of time for it. It's not as implied, the brides. Trumpets are to Israel what the thunders are to us, the seals. Now, this is my point I want to get to. Now, the hidden mysteries of Christ was fully revealed in the seals. It revealed first the seven church ages. You know what? I could use another term. It revealed first the bride of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Not just one age.
No.
Not just the group at Branham Tabernacle.
Right.
Not just the group of 1744.
God.
All seven church ages, to the ones that overcame in Ephesus, to the ones that overcome, that's why I was in how to overcome, to the ones that overcome into Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia, to every group that overcome, he would grant the tree of life and grant a new name and grant a white stone and grant white robes and grant to sit in the throne. It was all seven church ages that made up this bride. And that's what he showed us, that we were one unit, that Luther didn't quite preach everything Wesley did, but that didn't matter. Luther preached exactly what he was supposed to. He was starting to restore the word back. And then Wesley came along. We saw the whole picture that made up the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They saw their name in the book. We saw our name in the book. They just saw the whole picture. We saw the whole picture. They sang a new song. We sang a new song. Singing the same thing this morning, giving him praises, rejoicing. John said everything heard him. Because when John saw what praise he played, and we know he was just a type of you and me, this morning we see what place we played, what part we played, where we were at, that our names are in the book, that we're part of God, that we're going back to God, that we're part of the bride, that we represent the headship to the body. Oh, that ought to get us stirred up.
Amen.
That ought to get us excited.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you got to jump up and down like me.
Right.
I like how Brother Destin said this morning. He said, I'm just an old dog. I might not jump around as much as you do. But I guarantee you, this thing has eaten him up. There's a reason why he thinks he's got to get up every service. I mean that respectfully. This thing's eating him up. It's part of who he is. He's been eating on this for a long time. He can't help himself. It's who he is. It's what he wants to talk about. That's rejoicing. That's rejoicing I'm talking about. It ain't necessarily running the aisles. That can be part of it, too, that you're excited. But this thing is you're facing on this unfailing body. We're the Son of Man. Recognizing who you are is becoming one with you, and it's making you happy, and it's giving you peace, and it's giving you joy. And you sit here in the morning saying, am I going to make it to heaven this morning? You know you're going to make it to heaven. You've seen your name in the book. You don't have to worry about it. That's another thing to keep simple. Whether you understand all these words I'm telling you, whether you know what the seven thunders are, whether you know anything about Paul or Uranus, whether you've never read the seven church age book or not, just know if you hear my words this morning, they make sense to you. That's God revealing his word to you, and that's what the new birth is about. And if you got that, you got everything you need.
Amen.
for the journey. It just takes one revelation. And that one revelation connects you to a body. And you're part of the bride. Amen. And when the bride leaves, you'll leave. We can't leave you behind. Amen. That's why I'm saying you should be happy.
Amen.
Oh, there's nothing greater when you realize God wanted me. God saved me. God gave me the new birth. God took care of me. I get to go to heaven. I get to go to that place He went and prepared. Oh, that gives me joy this morning.
Amen.
Keep it that simple if you have to. Because Brother Moore, he's a simple preacher too. I'm not insulting, but he can go deep is what I'm trying to say. He makes it simple for us, but he's got a deep understanding.
Amen.
But you know what? If you don't have the understanding, you just realize you're identified with him. If he has it, you got it.
Amen.
You know, all it takes is just that first tip of that needle to get through. Then you can bring the entire thread through.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole thing will go through. It just takes a tip.
Just
takes one of us. You realize we don't have to be here.
Right.
And we'll go.
Oh, yeah.
So if you don't understand anything, Brother Moore understands, don't worry about it. You just understand. You just get your understanding.
Yeah.
Let God talk to you. Let God deal with you. Let God reveal himself to you. Let God preach to you.
Yes.
And you're ready for the journey.
Amen.
You're part of that bride.
Amen.
That's just a point I want to keep making. You were justified under Luther.
Yeah.
You were sanctified under Wesley.
Yeah.
You had the gifts under Pentecost.
Oh, yeah.
You danced in the Spirit under Pentecost.
Yeah.
You have the deepest understanding of the book of Revelation under Earl Childers. You have the deepest understanding today under Nate Moore.
Amen.
You understand like Brother Destin, because Brother Destin understands.
Yes.
You're identified with this body.
Yeah.
Because we're all one body.
Yeah.
We're together.
Amen.
We're one. If you never preach like me, you're preaching this morning.
Yes.
You're hitting the devil this morning.
Yes.
You're throwing word by word out this morning. Because you're one with me this morning. We're a bride. We're standing on our feet. We're not two but separate bodies.
No.
We're not separate from each other.
Amen.
We're one united bride body.
Amen.
And we're identified with each other. Brother Branham said, he said, as an American, I'm identified with her good and bad.
Amen.
Identified with all the good things, bad things if I'm American.
Right.
And I don't even want to go through the list. Because there's so many good and bads today. But I'm identified. I'm American.
Yeah.
I'm proud to be an American.
Yeah.
But I'm proud to be part of this bride of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I'm identified with it.
Yeah.
I was there when Paul was saying, if you preach any other thing, then what I preach, let him be accursed. I said it too. I was there when Martin gave that beggar his cloak. I was there when Columba was doing miracles. I was there when Luther had only one revelation, but he said, I'm going to walk up to that Catholic church and nail those 95 theses. I was there when Wesley traveled to the USA. I was there when they danced on Azusa Street and started speaking in tongues. I was there when Brother Branham was healing the thousands. I was there when Brother Childers got his revelation in 73. I was there when Brother Moore was born again. I was there when we took a step last Sunday and said we're united. Because I'm part of this body. You can't go anywhere. I ain't going. I can't go anywhere. You're not going. I'm identified with it. This morning Luther's saying, preach to Jeremiah. What? He's like, preach to Jeremiah. Tell us some more about this thing. Why? Because we're one bride body this morning. Oh, we get excited about their story. They're excited about our story.
Yeah.
Oh, think about that this morning. Oh, you guys made it through that layout of CNA where everybody wanted rights, devils left and right, and you kept your head.
Yes.
Keep preaching. We're counting on you.
Amen.
Counting on you to get us out of here. Counting on you to say those last words. Get the job done.
Amen.
And guess what? We're going to get the job done.
Yes.
We're ordained to get the job done. But it is our job to get done. Brother Branham, just want to throw one more out here for you. Maybe two. This is out of the harvest time. Look her in. Brother Branham must have been towards the end. He has paragraph 299. There must come a true seed. There's just got to be, because he's coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle. He's coming for a word-vindicated bride. Now, he starts off talking about this last day. Oh, she'll be such a little bitty group, because this last day, it's very few will be saved. It's a honed edge. That cast on gets smaller and smaller as it gets that tip. You said the day in the noses, as it was in the days of Noah, where eight souls were saved. Is that right? So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. How many, I don't know, but he was just pointing to this age. Oh, ain't going to be a lie. But listen to what he had to say next. But see, the bride is going to be made up all down through that had their word and their age. It's not just the last group,
God is going to take the whole thing out of here. Amen, Brother Brown.
Amen.
Oh, those opening of that word that I started in Revelation 10, why I started there is God had this thing hid. And it was hid because he was covering up. He was building it. He didn't want the devil to get in it. But he was building a bride. And he did it perfectly. And then when he came down and opened the book, what he first revealed was this bride to say, see what I've been building? See who you are? You're the bride of Jesus Christ. You're what I've wanted since the foundation of the world. All that was in Christ, God poured into Christ. All that was in Christ was poured into the bride. We didn't know that to this age, but the bride, the entire bride knows it this morning, this hour, this age, because it's been revealed to us. He come down to the open book and told us the whole story. And now we see an entire bride that is coming back for all ages long, not just the last group.
Right.
One unit, one bride. Now, at that day, ye shall know. What day? This day.
Amen.
What he has done. We can see all the way back. We see where we are. We can see where we're going. One more place just to, because I like how he said it here. This is desperation. All the things he hasn't done down through the ages, in the church ages, he's now doing. Back to the word, because the messages and the messages and the messages has to wind up in the entire word. We know we have the full word of God. We even know the word had to be restored before he come down. Perfect bride, without spot or without wrinkle. And in the last days, the seven seals being opened, what happens here in Revelation 10, open book, was to pick up, and it opened heaven first, was to pick up every straggle that's been left off on it and make the whole thing in one great big body of the bride. That them who lived back there was not perfect until this church be perfected. This bride group in the last day to bring them in and all together be taken up. You see my theme this morning? I'm trying to show you the bride's not just one age, not just one group. It's an entire 2,000-year-old church-age bride body. And in this day and hour, the seals were open. They opened in heaven first. Those sleeping saints got a revelation. It came down to earth. They're open to us this morning. The bride sees it as one unit. As Seth testified, not two voices, not two different messages, no more walls or partition. We didn't know. They didn't know it until this day. We didn't know it until this day. Nobody did until it was time. But that's what John said. When you can read and understand the words of this prophecy, the time is at hand. And we are, and keep those things written in. That's where we are today. And this bride is standing on her feet all seven church ages long. It's the first thing the seal showed us was the bride of Jesus Christ, the seven church ages, placed them positionally. I stopped reading that quote, but he said they placed them positionally with history and lined them all up. We know who we are this morning. Now the rapture can go. And Brother Moore made points. You know, there's scriptures that apply this day. There's scriptures that apply to us that's living, that we're here doing today. We're the living, breathing Son of Man on the face of the earth. We're the ones prophesying again and going around the world. That's still part of it, too. So we're not taking that away. We got messages applied to the living only. We got scriptures applied to the dead, sleeping only. But the point Brother Moore's trying to make, there are some scriptures that apply to both. And he's trying to show us we're one unit with the same understanding, with the one voice. Understand the same thing. He said something that got me so excited. Listen, he said, they want to go just as bad as we want to go.
Yeah.
Oh, that gets me excited this morning. They're pulling, we're pulling. It can't be much longer when you got that set up that kind of way. And when this came down, headship to the body came down. And I'll just read verses 8 through 11, just because they apply to us this day. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which stand upon the sea and upon the earth. This was John, who represents you. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. He wanted it for himself. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings.
Amen.
This day that scripture is fulfilled.
Yes.
This day this living bride is doing exactly that.
Yes.
We've said, give me the book. We've taken the book and eaten. You've gotten born again. Amen. You've wanted the message for yourself. You are the living, breathing representation of God on this earth today. Some God, the only God some people will see will be the one that God's moving in a many-member bride body. you say, what do you mean? Because, you know, some people say, well, God's the one who created the earth. He is. But that God didn't want to stay there as a spirit. That God wanted to be in human beings. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Because God came down, he said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased to dwell in. And now he's in a minimum of bride. Jesus himself said, when I leave, you'll do the greater works, because I go to my Father. And the greater works is God in a minimum of bride body, moving and breathing. And that's us in this hour. I'm not here starting to say, oh, I'm going to snap my fingers and I'm creating the earth. That's not even what my job is today. But that same God that did that's here this morning, walking around in the little pieces of the ocean all over, manifesting himself with a full word understanding for scriptures for this day, fulfilling them. Just like Wesley fulfilled his in his day and Luther did his part, we're doing our part. We are one unit, but we have a part to play. We're not the hands. We're not the knees. We're not the waist. We're the intelligence. We're the mind to the entire body. That's what came down. And I'm going to save time, but Christ is the mystery. I paraphrased earlier because I brought the quote. Brother Branham said, headships come down to the body, the mind. That's what happened in 63. Life came down. God came down. He's in his bride. The mind. We are the mind age. We see the whole thing. We are the mind for the entire body. That's our part. That's our role. That's what we're doing. That's what we play. When we see the whole thing and open up and we see the entire bride, we realize we're not the feet. We're the head. Now, feet's part of who I am. I'm represented with the feet. They're part of me, but I have a certain role to play, and it's the mind to the entire body. And that's where we are in this day and hour. Do you realize the mind controls the entire body? Now, let that sink in for a minute. Oh, that's something that just stuck out to me. The mind controls the entire body. It'll tell it when to get up. It'll tell it when to move. It'll tell it where to go. It'll tell it when it's time. It'll tell it what to do. That's where we are this morning. We're not a half made up body. We're not a 3/4 made up body. This is a bride body standing on her feet that has a mind that controls the entire body. Oh, that gets me excited. Oh, I'm not here this morning saying just because we want to say it's time today, it's going. We do nothing until the Father first shows us. But what I do want to make real to you is how close we are. We're at the very point where the mind is here. The very mind of God. Headship to the body. The whole body hears the same thing. The whole body sees the same thing. The head is here telling it what to do. That's how close we are to getting out of here. What day will be, I don't know, but he'll let us know. When it's time, we'll get out of here. Because the mind will say, it's time to go. Oh, that's how close we are. Oh, that ought to get me, gotta get you excited. That's what it does for me. When I connect the whole thing and put the mind on it, the thing that tells it to move, the thing that tells it to go, the thing that tells us what to do, that's what's here this morning. That's how far we are down the road. That's our part. That's our role. That's why we speak so boldly. That's why we are singing a new song too. They're singing with us. They sang, we sang. Oh, it's why we act different. It's why we talk different. It's why we speak bold. It's why we're not afraid to call black, black, white, white. We don't play around. We know who the fullest version are. We don't hesitate. Say, you treat me good, you treat God good. The mind's here. The thing that sees the whole story. That looked all the way back and looked all the way forward. Knows where it's going. The all-seeing thing. That's where we are today. That's where we're standing this morning. Think about that. And it's one unit. And the part we're playing is the mind. And the body is controlled by the mind. Amen. Philippians, the second chapter, I won't turn over there, says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Oh my, let me read you a quote. I can find it. Make sense to you, okay? All right. 1965, Christ revealed in his own word. Brother Bram says, and I do got one more scripture before we close today. You can't see with your hands, yet it's part of the body. You can't see with the ears, yet it can hear. You can't see with the nose, yet it smells. You can't see with the lip, though it speaks. And see, that was the Pentecostal age. But now it's the eye time, the seeing. That was the eagle, the prophet. Now, there isn't one moving faculty beyond the eye. Brother Rand says, is that right? The next is the intelligence, which is Christ itself,
amen,
who controls the whole body. Think about that. Intelligence has come to the body. The mind has come to the body. The thing that quickened and put it, moving it up on its feet, came to the body. The thing that moves it around and controls the entire body. That's the age we're in. That's where we are today. This is a new day. This is a golden day. This is the bride age. This is the mind age. This is the token age. This is the seven thunders age. This is the full word age. All these things is the bride's revival. So many terms you've heard us say. That's the hour we're in this morning, because it's one entire bride body. Christ has come down and married it. Headship is connected to the body. The mind age is here, telling the whole body what to do, where to go, and moving the whole thing.
Amen.
You see what part you're playing?
Yes.
You're not the feet, even though the feet's connected to you. You're not the hands, even though the hands are connected to you. The part of that body you represent is the mind.
Yeah.
Amen.
And it's not that you're so good as an individual person. It's that word that came down and told you what this is.
Yeah.
It's the word that you have.
Right.
It's the understanding of the word that you have. It still connects to the word. It's not you as a man that's so good or a woman that's so good. It's the revelation of the word that you're using. That's what controls the body, is that word of God that's coming across.
Amen.
Not your intelligence, not your human being self-righteousness and all the things you can do. It's the revelation you have of the book that says, I do nothing till the Father first shows me, and everything I do will be connected to that word. Why? Because he is the word. Not you're so smart, or I'm so smart, or you're so smart. All that's happened to us is the book has been opened, and God's told us what he's been doing and saying, here's where we are, and here's what I want you to be doing in a day and hour. It's the preaching of the word. It's the understanding we have. That's what the mind is. It's not your human fleshly wants. It's the mind. It's the word. His word is his mind. His word is his will. You got the full word of God in this day, and that's what you're moving and controlling the body with. But that's where we are. That's what's going to raise her up. I am the resurrection's here.
Yes.
That's where we are this morning.
Amen.
But the intelligence, which is Christ, the Word, controls the entire body.
Amen.
It's complete. I got one more scripture and we'll close today. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I made it. You know, it's like anything that God brightens up for us. It's a new revelation. And I use that word carefully, because too, people get off with new. They want something new. They want something great. And we have everything we already need. It's already been brought. It's just gotten bright to us. Just a new understanding for us. We've seen it clearly for the first time. When that happens, it becomes like a new book to you. Because I'm reading 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, a little different this morning than I was reading it before last Sunday.
Amen.
So turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I'm going to start with verse 12. For as the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Now, you know, you can apply that to this church. It applies. But this morning, I can also apply it to that right up there. He set every age, every member, right in their age, right in their place, ordained for that age, doing the job they were supposed to do. Amen. Somebody played the feet. Somebody played the hands. Somebody played the ears. God put the whole thing and built the whole thing. Yeah. And each individual that was getting baptized by one spirit was baptized and become part of that body. Oh, it's bigger than just you. Yeah, you got a part to play. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think are to be less honorable upon these, we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. And on and on and on. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and the members in particular. You can apply that to the local assembly. We know it does. But I was just reading it this weekend. I thought, man, God has built this bride. Came from the feet all the way up to the eyes, all the way up to the intelligence. They all play their part. When those seals broke, they saw it in heaven, we see it on earth. We saw our place. We saw our part. Luther ain't sad this morning that he played. He said, like, I played my part. He saw what part he played. He's like, I'm part of the body. He's rejoicing and has the same understanding we have this morning. He no longer just only understands justification. He understands he's missing Jesus Christ this morning. And understands what part he plays. And so does Wesley. And so does all the whole bride body down through the ages. But here we are. We're the mind age. Every part has its place. They without us cannot be perfect. Hebrews 11:40. But they without us cannot be perfect. The mind had to come. The full word had to come. Full understanding had to come. All they had, think about it. Full preeminence couldn't show up until the end time. Because the only way he has full preeminence is when you have full understanding, full word. Yeah. If they only had part word, he couldn't fully, he was limited, he was bound by denominational thinking.
That's right.
But in this day and age, at the evening time, it shall be light. The book's been opened. This bride has the full word understanding. And that full word understanding makes her the headship to the body. Yeah. And she has that full word. She perfected this body in that sense.
Yeah.
It wasn't fully done until that mind connected.
That's right.
And now it's up, it's moving, full understanding. Everybody has his part. Everybody has his place.
Yes.
And we're in the mind age, people. The intelligence of the body that controls the entire bride. We're close. Think about what Brother Moore said, and I'm closing. They want what we want. They want a glorified body. I want to take my glorified meet the theology. I want to meet the Lord in the air. My other quote I always love, Brother Bram says, that even before we meet him in the air, we got to unite with him first. And Brother Moore, you know, made it real. In some ways, we've already united because he brought him down here with him. But we're actually going to physically see him. They're going to see us.
Yeah.
And physically, we're going to go meet him in the air. We don't even meet him as one church age group. We got to, Brother Bram said, there's three unites. Unite with the word. He said, they already did it. We're doing it. He said, then we got to unite together, the living and the sleeping.
Yes.
God didn't just want one church age. He didn't want one group. He didn't just want one church. He wanted many men and bride body. And before we meet him in the air, we got to all get together. And we all know our part. And we all want the same thing. And we all know where we're going. And the intelligence of the body's here. The full word understanding's here. The thing that knows the whole story, that knows what the body is and how it was built and what it happened through the ages and how each part played its role. The thing that controls the whole body's here that can say it's time to go when it's time to go. Oh, it may be today, maybe tomorrow, maybe 2 years, I don't know, but we're close, people. Signs all around us, we know it. I don't have to remind you of that. But the intelligence is here. The whole thing that controls the whole body is here. And we have that body can't recognize any other headship than Christ, the Word. And that's what we have this morning. Oh, my title was the Bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Revelation 21:9, behold the Lamb's wife, the bride. That was the scripture I meant to get to too, but the Bride of Jesus Christ, bigger than just 1744, even though we have a part. Let's do our part and let's rejoice. They sang a new song. We're singing a new song. We see our names in the book. Oh, God's been good to us.
Amen.
What a day that'll be. Let's sing that as we close. In Jesus we shall see. God bless you all.
Amen.
We'll have service tonight at 7. Those of you that can make it back, we'll see you here. And Brother Moore and Brother James are traveling. Keep them in your prayers. Keep the bride body in your prayers. Good to see the visitors here this morning, everybody again. I miss y'all when we're gone, and always good to be back.
Amen.
And I got to sign that song. It's 204 and the only bleed, right? QG. Let me get there. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. Verse 2. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there.
Dismissed.